For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So the question isn't if we are in a battle. The question is, do you see it? Because there's more than meets the eye.
It's hard to believe that it's been 20 years since this happened. We were living in Colorado at the time. Just an ordinary day, a beautiful summer day. I was actually out for a walk. Actually, I was prayer walking, head down, brisk pace, talking with the Lord, allowing thoughts to run through my mind. When all of a sudden, I had this startling revelation. There, I heard a voice. And the surprise wasn't that it was a voice from heaven. It was actually a voice from an SUV. Excuse me, sir. Now, I heard the voice, but immediately I realized, you know, I'm not old enough at that point to be called sir. So whoever it was in the SUV probably was talking to some old geezer, you know, walking ahead of me or behind me. And so head down, I just kept going. And then that voice came again. Excuse me, sir. And this time when I looked, the lady in the SUV had pulled from the road to the side of the road as close to the trail that I was walking on as she could get. She had rolled down the window and she had stuck her head out, seemingly half of her body out, and she's flailing her arms at me and continuing to say, excuse me, sir. And so this time I asked her, I said, may I help you? And she said, I was just wondering if you'd heard about the lion. And I knew that I had misunderstood her. And so I asked, who was lying? And she said, no, the lion. The lion. Have you heard about the lion? And this time there was no mistaking her at all. And so I inquired, what lion? And she said, the one that was spotted on the trail that you're walking twice last week. Didn't you see the signs? My husband walks out here and he said there are signs posted everywhere about the mountain lion activity in the area. Well, at this point, I'd figured it out. I was being punked. And so I'm looking, you know, for the film crew hiding somewhere in bushes or behind the houses or something like that. But she was persistent. Didn't you read the sign, sir? She urged. The one warning you about the lion. I remember I mumbled something about, I didn't see any sign, but at this point, my mind had kind of gone into warp speed, and it seemed like the rest of the world was moving in slow motion, and I'm having this internal dialogue with myself. I'm thinking, a sign? Well, I wouldn't have seen a sign. My head was down, and I was walking. And sure, a lion? Well, yeah, there's plenty of mountain lions in Colorado, but I'm on a trail that meanders in the south suburbs of Denver, and there are neighborhoods and houses and streets and traffic and people everywhere. There shouldn't be any lions here. And then a thought sprinted through my mind. Huh, the trail I'm walking on and that road right there is called Wildcat Reserve. Wildcat Reserve. I thought that was just a place where old UK fans went to die. In fact, I'm pretty sure Coach Cal bought a place there recently. The thought never occurred to me that maybe they named it that because of real wild cats. And then the most startling thought of all. I realized I'm on the far western end of the trail, and I live on the far eastern end of the trail, and I have got to walk all alone in order to get home. I thanked the lady, and she drove off, and I just stood there for a minute. What in the world am I going to do? So I decided to convince myself that the lady didn't have a clue what she was talking about. Hysterical women, you know. I mean, really? And then I realized, you know, I was out of town last week, and if it'd been all over the news, I wouldn't have heard the news. But a lion in the suburbs? And so then I did the only thing that I could do. I took a first tentative step, and then another, and then another. And I kid you not, I had not gone 20 yards when I stopped dead cold in the middle of the trail, because it was there, right in front of me, not 50 yards ahead of me. It was the sign, not the lion. It was the sign. The sign was what she was telling me about. And the sign, it was a pretty big sign. Big red letters on it, bold letters, pictures just in case you didn't want to read. And it said, warning, mountain lion activity reported in this area. That one was telling me the truth. And as I stood there and read the sign, I couldn't help but notice that I really didn't need to even go much past the first tip for surviving a mountain lion encounter. Tip number one read, do not walk alone. And so I turned around and looked behind me, and there's nobody there. And then I looked down the trail ahead of me, and there was nobody there. And that's when I realized that there I was, all alone, just me and a lion, and me looking like some all-you-can-eat buffet. Well, after a few deep breaths and a few fervent prayers, I did the only thing I could do. I continued to walk in mountain lion country alone, ignoring the number one rule for survival, do not walk alone. But I noticed that as I walked, my walk had changed. All of a sudden, my head wasn't down, my head was up. I was like on a pivot, constantly scanning to keep an eye on everything. I wasn't oblivious any longer to everything that was going on around me. I mean, whereas before, I mean, literally, an SUV could sneak up on me. Now I seemed to see every little grasshopper that moved in the grass. And I also happened to notice that my heart rate seemed to stay up right where it should be all the time. The next 10 to 15 minutes felt like hours. And I tell you, I saw lions everywhere. The littlest breeze could make a brush move, and I was sure there was a lion there. A discoloration in the terrain, and I thought, oh, I think that's a lion there. Or the bushes that were around me, I don't want to walk too close to those bushes. There could be a lion there. And I learned something that day. There is something about knowing a lion is on the loose that it should change your walk. Do you hear me? There is something about knowing that a lion is really on the loose that ought to change your walk. Of course, the truth is I should have already known that. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Are you walking alone through dangerous territory? Let me tell you, that's what this series that we're beginning today is all about. There is so much more at work in our world than just what meets the eye. And you need to be aware that there is a dangerous fight on hand. We live in a time of great spiritual conflict. It is raging all around us. Now, the truth is, it has been going on for a long, long time. And even Jesus had quite a bit to say about this spiritual conflict that we can see around us. So let me invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in a moment from verse 31. And as you're turning there, listen, if we've not yet met, let me introduce myself to you. My name's Kevin, and I am one of the pastors here. And let me tell you, in just a bit, I'm going to be joined by Pastor Evan. Every year, when I go away and I do preaching planning, we plan where we're going to be going for the coming year, lay out all of the sermons that we're going to be working on as a team. I solicit input from you as a church and from everyone. And this series that we're beginning today was actually one of the suggestions that came from Pastor Evan. And listen, it seemed to just resonate so deeply with so many of you who likewise made comment about it. It just seems like there is this cultural war that we are in, that there is this redefinition of truth, and how are we supposed to stand for our faith in a climate like this? Well, I'm telling you, it's the same fight that has been going on for a long, long time. And so I want us to begin this series by listening to how Jesus framed the conflict that we're dealing with to this very day. So follow along in your Bibles as I read John 8, beginning with verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we're descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. And a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham. And yet, some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your heart for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you're following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied. "For if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing." "No, you are imitating your real father," they replied. "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me because I have come down to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God." Do you see the conflict here? Do you see the conflict that exists in the world around you? Listen, it's so easy for us to be drawn into this delusion that this world here is all that there is, but that is a lie of Satan, an intentional deception designed to keep you in the dark and uninformed. The Apostle Paul writes about this same conflict in the book of Ephesians when he says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Listen, if you're in a fight, it is really, really important that you know you're in a fight. And if you're in a fight, the truth is you need to learn from someone who's been in that fight. Now, the truth is, I don't know anybody who's ever fought a lion, but I do know a guy. Actually, I know two guys, in fact, that have clearly indicated that they are capable of fighting a bear. True story. There's kind of a running joke among the pastors for some time now that both Justin and Evan are capable of fighting a bear. And yeah, they'll tell you that's part of their skill set. And I know you may not realize that, but I want you to know that residency training that we put those residency guys through, man, we teach them all kinds of skills. And apparently bear fighting is one of them. We equip them. And so I am thrilled today to step aside and let one of our own bear fighters come and enlighten us about how to wake up to the fact that we are in a fight. So if you would give a big welcome and warm reception to Evan as he comes. Go get him, man.
Good morning. Hey, my name's Evan. I'm one of the pastors here, and I do believe that I could beat a bear in a fight. How many of you think I'm telling the truth? You think I could beat a bear? Anybody? Hey, I got a few in the back. A couple of my students. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you think I'm delusional? Yeah. Well, hey, you're all wrong. We have proof of it this morning, actually. That's me and Justin the last time we got into one of our bear fighting excursions. No, hey, that's a fake picture, of course. But listen, we do that a lot, me and Justin. We think about these scenarios where we're in fights with things. We think whether we can beat something in a fight or not. It's kind of a man thing to do, I think. Does any other men in the room do that sometimes? You think about something? Hey, truth is, I know I couldn't beat a bear. I know it's just a delusion. I know it's just a scenario that I made up in my head, and we do that a lot. But as Kevin has already made clear this morning, there is a fight. It's not made up. It's not fake, but it's a reality every single day. Hey, you're in a fight. And the truth is, we're not fighting lions or bears or anything of that nature, but we are in a fight with the devil, the accuser, the father of lies, the prince of this world. Listen, whatever you want to call him, you need to know this morning that he's against you. And I do not tell you this morning to scare you, to make you paranoid about the fight we're in, but what I do desperately want to happen is for you to walk away today with a seriousness about the fight and for you to be equipped at the very start of the fight. So today, this morning, and the rest of the time we have, I want to tell you three things that we must do at the start of the fight. Would you pray with me before we start? Father, we love you. God, we thank you that your word tells us that we have an enemy, God. And we thank you that it tells us how we can fight our enemy, Lord. God, I pray for the ones in here today who are under attack, and I pray that they would hear how they can be on the defense against the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a fight. Hey, Jesus makes it clear in those verses that Kevin just read a few minutes ago that there is a fight. See, Jesus is talking to a large group of people here, some common people, some religious leaders, some Pharisees, but he makes it very real to them. He's very real with them, and he's very blunt with them. And in verse 44, he tells them, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is the father of all lies." Hey, pretty serious, right? I mean, that's not something you'd ever want to hear from Jesus Christ. Not something you'd ever want to hear him telling you. But what Jesus is doing here is he's teaching them about the idea of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil, and then the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, two sides against each other, at war, and at war for you and for me. And listen, he is trying to tell these people in the story today that they belong to the devil, that they are on the wrong side of these two sides, that they're not a child of God or a child of Abraham, but they are a child of the devil, and they just don't get it. It's a pretty common theme throughout the Bible. And they fight back against Jesus at every point he makes. Jesus says, you need to be free. You need to be free from the devil. You need to be free from sin. And they say, Jesus, what are you talking about? Hey, we've never been slaves to anything before. What do we need to be free from? Why do we need to be free? And they had obviously forgotten about Egypt and Babylon and Persia and the fact that they were literally living under Roman rule at the very moment that they say this. And then they start to attack Jesus for what he's telling them. They attack his heritage. In verse 41, they say, Jesus, we're not illegitimate children like you are. And we know who our family is. We know who our father is. But we've heard rumors about you, Jesus. And they attack him. They fight back against Jesus on every point that he makes. And listen, we can do that too. They were so defensive about who they were and where they were that they were blinded by the work of Satan that was going on all around them. They were blinded to it. And listen, this is the first thing we need to see this morning about what we do at the start of the fight. The first thing is this: open your eyes. Open your eyes. Hey, open your eyes to the fight. The people in this story, the people that Jesus is speaking to, they think they have everything figured out. They're religious leaders. They're Pharisees. They think they know everything about everything. They don't think they need any help from anybody, and they don't want to hear what Jesus is trying to say. Hey, does that sound like anybody you know? Probably. Listen, a popular saying in our world right now is you do you. You figure it out for yourself. You do you. You follow your own heart. Listen, that is the motto of our world right now, and that is the mindset of these people. And Jesus is trying to warn them. He's trying to warn them of the enemy and trying to warn them that they're on the wrong side. But they are blinded by what they think is true. And the truth is, they don't want to see it. And they don't want to see that they belong to the evil one. They don't want to see that the devil is after them. And listen, the devil has these people exactly where he wants them. Maybe you've heard this famous quote before. The greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Listen, that is what he wants. He wants for you to pay no attention to him, for you not to think he's real, or at the very least, for you not to think that he's against you or after you. Listen, I heard someone say it like this one time. A lot of people know he exists, but many of us fall into the subtle trap of hoping that he'll leave us alone. So you have one camp that doesn't believe he exists, and then one camp that thinks he's not against you. And listen, both are so dangerous. Listen to me this morning. If he has left you alone, you're not where you need to be. Does that make sense? If he's left you alone, you're not where you need to be. You're not a threat to him. He has no work to do on you. Listen, he's already won in you if he has no work to do in you. And that's where these people are. They're unable to see that Satan is at work in their lives. They're unable to see that they belong to him. Listen, we have to know the devil is real and that he's after us. God's word tells us that we are in a fight, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We have to open our eyes to who our enemy is and to what he wants to do to us. And listen, here's what God's word says about him. He's like a lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. That he's the father of all lies. That he was a murderer from the beginning, and that he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And listen, he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your families. He wants to destroy your relationship with the Lord. He wants to destroy this church. And the worst thing we can do is act like he's not real, is ignore him. It's to act like the fight isn't going on. Hey, I'm a really big fan of watching people fight. Is that bad? Is it? You can tell me. Anybody else a fan of watching people fight? few hands, a few brave hands. Hey, I love watching boxing or MMA or UFC fights. I'm a big UFC fan. And you know what happens at the start of a fight, right? The two fighters, the two competitors, they walk up to the center of the ring or the octagon, wherever they're at. And the referee in charge, he tells them the rules. And then they have an option to touch gloves or not to show respect. And then they go back to their corners, right? And the fight is about to start. I want you to think about this for a moment. Picture two fighters in a ring, in an octagon. They're back in their corners. They're about to fight. And everyone knows, hey, when that bell rings, these two guys are going to go at it. But hey, imagine with me for a moment that when that bell rings, one of the fighters just ignores the fact that he's in a fight. He doesn't acknowledge the fact that he is in a fight. And he ignores everything going on around him, all he's been taught, and he ignores the danger that's walking right to him. What do you think would happen to that fighter? He'd lose, right? Hey, the moment that that bell rings, he would lose. He'd be out like that. He would not stand a chance. Why? Because he's ignoring the reality that he's in a fight. Listen, we must see the reality that there is a fight. We cannot ignore the reality that Jesus speaks about in this passage. We can't ignore the reality that we have an enemy and that we're in a fight. You want to lose a fight real quick? Don't acknowledge that you're in one. Ignore the fact that you're in one. Hey, the quickest way to lose a fight is to not acknowledge that you're in one. We have to open our eyes to the fight. Open our eyes to our enemy and open our eyes to what he wants to do to us. Hey, as Kevin mentioned earlier in the series, or today, that I suggested this series, and I did it because I feel very strongly about this topic, and I have experienced this thing before. You know, I remember one time, not too long ago, I found myself in a place in life where I was just really struggling, all right? I'm talking everything seemed to just be bad all at once. Anybody ever go through something like that? Or it all just seems like it's coming in at one time. You know, I was having problems in my relationships. I was physically and emotionally drained all the time. I was tired. I was stressed out. And it just felt like the perfect storm all at once. And listen, I was also tempted pretty heavily. Hey, like old temptations that I thought were gone just creeped their way back into my life. Old struggles that I thought I had moved past just found its way back in. And that was a rough, rough time for me. But I remember one day when all this was going on, I got home after a long, hard day, and I laid down in my bed, and I just started praying. This was the first time I really started praying, really started opening up to the Lord. Should have done it sooner, but I started praying. And the moment that I started praying, it was as if the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Evan, you were under attack. You were under attack." And listen, such a small, simple phrase, but it changed everything for me. And here's the thing. I couldn't be on the defense. I couldn't fight back until I knew that I was under attack. How can we fight when we don't even know that we're under attack? Listen, I have a feeling in here today that some of you are under attack. Some of you know it. Some of you haven't opened your eyes to the fact that you are under attack. But listen, we have to open our eyes. Open our eyes to the reality that Jesus spoke about. That is the first step this morning. And the second thing we must do at the start of the fight is this. Open your ears. Open your ears. Hey, in verses 31 and 32 of what Kevin just read a few minutes ago, it says this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Listen, the truth that Jesus speaks about all throughout this passage is liberating. It sets us free. I think it's cool how much Jesus mentions truth. He mentions truth 9 times in the passage that Kevin just read. And he does it so much and so much at the beginning because of what he's going to say later on about the devil. That the devil is the father of what? Of lies. So how do we fight against the devil? We do it with truth. How do we offend ourselves against him? We do it with truth. Listen, Jesus talks about being in slavery here versus being free. Listen to me this morning. If you want more freedom in your life, you need more truth. If you want more freedom in your life, you need more truth. If you feel as if you're bound by sin or bound by the enemy or under attack by him today, you need more truth. The truth will set you free. And hey, truth has gone by the wayside in the world that we're living in today, right? I mean, truth has dissipated so much now that we often say your truth and my truth. And we say that truth can change and that truth is dependent on all these different things. That truth is whatever we want it to be. But listen to me this morning. There's one truth. And this is that truth. There's one truth. And Jesus says that the truth will set you free. Set you free from sin, from addiction, from lust, from whatever it is. It will set you free. And what does Jesus say about himself? Hey, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Listen, Jesus is truth. But our enemy is lies. And if our enemy is lies, then we should defend ourselves against him with truth. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the truth? Do you spend time with the truth? And we talk often about getting in our chair time here at New Word. That's the time where we sit down each day and we open up God's Word and we read it and we spend time in it and we spend time with it. How are you doing with that? Hey, have you been slacking? Listen, the truth will set you free. We need more truth. Listen, there was a study done several years ago, and it's called The Power of Four. Remember that, The Power of Four. And in this study, they polled over 40,000 people from the ages of 8 to 80. And they wanted to see how reading the Bible, how engaging with the truth each week was changing their lives. And what they found was pretty cool. And they found that when a person reads the Bible one time a week, there's really no change in their life. So when they come on a Sunday morning and they hear God's Word read, they might open it up in the seat. There's no change in their life whatsoever. And they found that it was the same with 2 days a week. No change. 3 days a week was a little bit different. There were some changes in those people's lives, but not much, not to a degree that you could really measure. And you would expect this just to go up all the way until number 7, and then 7 will be this great day. But no, they found that something pretty major happens on day 4. And they found that when a person reads their Bible just 4 days a week, the feeling of loneliness in their life drops by 30%. And they found that anger issues drop by 32%. That alcoholism drops by 57%. That feeling spiritually stagnant drop by 60%. That relational issues, especially in marriages, drop by 40%. And that pornography and other sexual sins drop by 65%. And listen, sharing your faith and discipling others, it jumps by over 200 100%. Isn't that amazing? Hey, that is what the power of truth will do in your life. And listen, that's just 4 days a week. Imagine what would happen if we read 7 days a week, if we spent 7 days a week in the truth. That is the power of the truth that Jesus is speaking about here. Do you want to be free? Do you feel as if you're under attack today and you want to be free? Then begin with truth. Listen, we have to open our eyes to the reality that there is a fight. We have to open our ears to the truth. And the last thing we must do this morning is open your heart. Open your heart. Hey, here's the reality of our situation right now. There is a fight. We are in a fight. But the truth is, we don't stand a chance against our enemy. Not alone, at least. Hey, the truth is, we don't stand a chance. But can I tell you something this morning? Someone has already won the fight. Hey, someone came down from heaven. They humbled themselves, came to earth, lived a perfect life, was beaten, was mocked, and was killed for you and me. And he rose 3 days later. And through that, he won the fight. He beat sin. He beat the grave. He beat the devil. And one day he'll return and put a permanent end to him. Listen, he won. But if you won with him, are you on the winning side? Are you with the one who has defeated the enemy? Do you know him? Hey, we must trust the one who has already won the fight. Listen, the Pharisees here, they couldn't understand what Jesus was speaking of in the story. They couldn't understand that they needed to be free. They couldn't understand that they belonged to the evil one, or that they needed truth, or that they needed Jesus. They couldn't get it. They're in a place where they think they've got everything figured out, and they don't understand the grave mistake that they're making. It reminds me of a story I heard once. And so this story takes place in a big open field. So everybody right now, imagine a big open field that spans for miles and miles on each side. Hey, right down the middle of that field, there's a fence. Just an old farm fence dividing the field right in half. And there's a man in this story. The man is sitting on that fence. And the man looks to one side of the fence and he can see heaven. And he can see Jesus there with his arms wide open, ready to receive him. And then he looks to the other side of the fence, and he can see hell. And he can see the devil there, tempting him, luring him to come to his side. But the man waits there. He hasn't decided yet. He waits and he contemplates which side he should choose. And he waits and he waits. And he's still on the fence. And after a while, he sees Satan pack up his things and walk off into the distance, out of sight. And he looks to the other side and he sees Jesus. Jesus waits there another moment. Then Jesus walks off out of sight. And the man is still there on the fence. And as he's waiting, as he's thinking about which side he should have chosen, after a while he sees Satan start to walk back towards him from a distance, walking up, getting closer and closer and closer. And Satan walks up right to the man. He says, "I knew I forgot someone. Come with me." But the man says, "Hey, whoa, 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 Satan, you've made a mistake. I didn't choose you. I didn't choose Jesus, but I definitely didn't choose you, Satan. You've made a mistake. You got this wrong." And Satan looks back at him, and he says, "You're coming with me. I left you on the fence because I own the fence." Listen, there is a fight. There is a fight for your soul, just as that story described. But have you acknowledged that there is a fight for your soul? Or are you on the fence? John, 1 John 4:4 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Listen, greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Our God is greater than our enemy. But my question to you this morning is, do you know Him? Listen, if you don't today, you can. If you don't, now is your moment. Listen, maybe today you've seen that your eyes are closed to the fight. Maybe you've seen that you need more truth in your life. Maybe you've seen that you don't belong to the one who's already won it. Maybe you've seen that you're on the fence. Listen, let me encourage you this morning. Do not wait. Now is your time. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of response. Our pastors are going to be on the side, but you can come to this altar and you can pray and you can make it right with the Lord. Listen, maybe you know you're under attack right now. Maybe you know the devil has been attacking you. Maybe you know a friend has been attacked recently. Come pray about it. Come give it to God and come give it to the one who has already won the fight. Listen to me. He has won the fight. And today, He can win your fight. We have to open our eyes to the reality that there is a fight. Open our ears to the truth. And open our heart to the one who's already won it. Listen, don't wait today. Make that move if you need to. Father, we love you. God, I thank you that your word tells us how we can fight back against our enemy. And Lord, what we are most thankful for this morning is that you have already won the fight. And Lord, we just have to place our faith and our trust in you, and you will fight for us, God. Lord, I pray for everyone in this building right now. Lord, that if they don't know you, if they don't know the one who has already won the fight, God, that they would get to know you this morning. We pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.